Psalm 119, and look at verse 25. Notice what the psalmist cries and sings to his God. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me the law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." As you read and meditate on the book of Psalms, you'll notice words like statutes, laws, precepts, judgments, commandments, testimonies, and they all speak in relation to the Word of God. Statutes are rules or mandates put in place by God to give direction. Laws are covers every authoritative word that God puts in place. Precepts are divine principles that we should live by. Judgments are God's absolute truths that help govern our lives and develop the wisdom of God in our lives. Commandments are God's orders. They are God's instruction. We call them God's expectations. And the testimonies are God-revealed truth that testifies of His goodness and also His holiness. It's truth that reflects His character. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." The Word of God is pure, my friends. That means it's untainted. That means it's undefiled. That means it can be trusted. It's pure, pure words of God. The pure Word of God. If there's anything that the devil desires to do in your life, any two great things I believe that he tries to do is get you to doubt God's love for you and also get you to doubt God's Word. He did it right in the beginning with Eve, and he continues to do it today. In Psalm 119, we see the psalmist express a deep love for the Word of God. If we were to give Psalm 119 a theme, we would call it the love of God's Word. In Psalm 119, we see the psalmist have a great desire for the Word and also for the God of the Word. They're inseparable. You can't separate the two. The desire for God and His Word, and the desire for the Word and God Himself. We see the psalmist come and be strengthened in the Word of God in the midst of his struggles, his sin, and circumstances of life. We see the psalmist have a great desire that the Word of God will revive him in such low conditions. The Word of God in verse 25 quickens. He says, the Word of God revives our hearts when we are desperately in need of God. In verses 25 and 28, we see a revelation of the psalmist, his condition. In verses 25, we see that his soul cleaveth to the dust. In verse 28, he says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." This gives us an indication and illustrates that he was at a low point of his life. The dust will illustrate that he was humbled. The dust will illustrate that he was nigh unto death. The dust will illustrate that he was in a place of mourning, sorrow, and grief. Dust would picture a very low point in a person's life. And the Christian life is no doubt mixed with both triumphs and trials. One moment we can be on the mountaintop, the next moment we can be in the valley. Nevertheless, no matter where we are, the Word of God is quickening and able to revive our hearts. We are told, we're not told what the psalmist went through. It could be a multiple of things. Whatever it was, it brought him low. It could have been sin in his life, undealt sin. It could have been fear and doubt that overcame him. because of the enemies pursuing him. It could have been his troubles that were simply overcome him by affliction, false accusations hurled at him. It could be the trials and testings of life which God uses, or it could be the chastening hand of God. We're not told what he was going through, but we see that it was at a low point of his life. And brethren, each and every single one of us in life will hit low points. And it could be for various reasons. We'll come to the point of our lives where we'll be feeling depressed, anguish and despair in our hearts. This is what happened to the psalmist, overwhelmed with grief. I mean, one minute you have a job, the next minute you don't have a job. One minute you have a friend, the next minute you don't have a friend. You know, just life just can surprise you with different things that come your way, and different causes and situations that cause our hearts to sorrow. One moment you have a child in your hands, and the next moment the child is in glory. We can be faced with different things that cause our soul to hit despair, but we need to say, like the psalmist, revive me, quicken me according to the word. Whatever it was great sorrow that overtook him. We can say that he hit rock bottom. But I heard someone once say, if you hit rock bottom, Jesus is the rock at the bottom. Amen. He's the one that will lift you up when you're down and out. Praise God for that. I thank God for the rock that's at the bottom, that can lift me up during trying times and troubled times. The psalmist needed more than just an encouragement from a friend. He needed more than just someone being there for him in a moment and they're gone. He needed someone that was there continually, someone that didn't leave, someone that was constantly there speaking to his heart. The psalmist needed God Almighty. Did you know God is always there? Always there. Friends come and go, but God is always there. People die and they leave you, and you cry and it's sad, but God is always there. God is always there, my friend. He's always there to revive your heart through his word. I thank God we have the word of God. Amen. This is the word of God in our hands that we could, the psalmist now prays out of desperation, quicken me according to thy word. Needed more than just a word of encouragement. He needed reviving, a bringing back to life, if you would, more than just perhaps in a physical sense, but a reviving in the inner man, the spirit that lives within us. God will use that to revive us by the word of God. And when we're discouraged and have a heavy, sorrowful hearts, we can call on the Lord and he'll revive us by his mighty word. There are two main things we see in the psalmist's life: his reality, his condition, and his remedy, his cure. At this point, our society, when we're down and out and feeling depressed, will point us to psychologists. They'll point us to counselors that have been studied in university and so forth, and they would recommend us to see professional help. That's what happens today when you're depressed and down and out and lonely and sad. They'll even have 10 sessions to sit down with you and go through the normal routine, and then maybe at the end, if nothing happens, they'll just prescribe you with some antidepressants. But over here, the psalmist didn't go and run to worldly counsel. He went to the counsel of God's word. The psalmist didn't seek any kind of counselor. He went to the counselors of all counselors, the Prince of Peace. By the way, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. How often? Day and night. Day and night. Meditating on the word of God. The psalmist asked God, quicken me, put life in me, raise me up. He needed a prescription, all right? He needed God's good word. By the way, scripture and faith is a good dose of medicine. They go together, amen, for a heavy heart. In the word of God, we find promises that will strengthen us. Promises that will strengthen our discouraged hearts. Promises, truths that we could claim. that God speaks to our hearts in certain times and periods that we go to and claim that promise and believe his word, that's a good dose of medicine. The best dose, scripture for the soul. Scripture, scripture, nothing but scripture. Yeah. You can go to other means and different places. And by the way, some people use different things to revive themselves and occupy themselves and bring joy to their soul. They go to entertainment and they go to food and they go to all sorts of means. But friend, when you hit rock bottom, when you're depressed and anguish, this is the best place to go. The best place. As a matter of fact, you might want to even fast. Fast. Seek the word of God. That's how God does it. God does it the other way around. God wants you to hope in his word, trust in his word. You know what the worst thing to do, or the worst thing, let me say this, that could ever happen to you, is when you're physically sick and you go and see the doctor and the doctor gives you the wrong diagnosis. And then he prescribes you with the wrong medicine. And then you're like a guinea pig going from one doctor to another doctor, this doctor and that doctor, trying this medicine and that medicine. I'm talking about in a physical sense. The worst thing that can happen to you is running from here to there. And I know in some cases we must, but listen, God, if we run to him in his word in a spiritual sense, he will never ever treat us like a guinea pig. His prescription is perfect. Amen. He has the right prescription for us. The Bible mentions that God is the lifter of our heads. Psalm 3 verse 2, many there be which say, oh my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and lifter up of my head. Oh, he's done. He's blew it. Look at him. Not even God to help him. Excuse me. God can help. That's what they were saying to the psalmist. God can't even help him. Yes, God can help. That's what the devil says to you when you're down and out and trouble comes your way. God can't help you. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. In this psalm, we see the desperate plea of the psalmist. He puts forth about 8 requests. He says, quicken me, O God. Teach me, make me, strengthen me, remove from me, grant me, put me not to shame, enlarge my heart. We're going to see those in a moment. Second of all, the word of God not only revives our heart, but the word of God teaches us God's way. Have a look at verse 26. He says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me, and teach me thy statutes. Now, the idea behind the psalmist saying, I have declared my ways, is that the fact that he had confessed everything to God. He confessed fully and freely. Nothing was hid. He was open. He was transparent. He was truthful. Everything that God needed to know about him, he told God. And by the way, God knows everything anyway. So why declare all things? Because God wants us to know our ways. Now, God uses circumstances in life that can show us our ways and our hearts. Thank God for that. We come and we say, God, I declare my ways. I've pondered upon my paths. And this is what's taking place. And the psalmist pleads with God and took his problems to the Lord and he laid it down on the table, so to speak. Everything's there. Nothing's hidden. Lord, you see it. The psalmist took his problems to the Lord, poured out his soul to the great physician. Make sure when you go to the doctor in a physical sense, you don't hide anything from him. They say, do you got any allergies? They want to make sure you're not hiding anything so they can give you the right prescription. So they make sure that the prescription or medicine they give you doesn't kill you. And so in order for God to give us the right diagnosis, we need to be transparent with God and our hearts that we're not deceived and say, God, I declare my ways to you. He poured out his heart in transparency. He would be open about his conflicts, his circumstances, his cares and concern. Do you know God loves it when you're transparent with him? God loves it when you're open with him. God loves it when you're truthful. God loves it when you cast your care upon him. God loves it when you're real with him. God loves it when you're forthright with him. God loves that. The truth is, many Christians do not go to God to their problems because they try to handle their issues by themselves. James says, you have not because you ask not. Spurgeon said, can each one of us say, in this sense, I have declared my ways to the Lord? For this should be done, not only at our first coming to Him, but continually throughout our whole life. We should look over each day and sum up the errors of the day and say, have I declared my ways, my naughty ways, my wicked ways, my wandering ways, my backsliding ways, my cold, indifferent ways, my proud ways? We should reconcile the day and say, Lord, here's my day today. You know, when you reconcile each day before you sleep and you say, God, you've seen what I was up to today, you can start the morning fresh and new in the Word. Did you know that? Beautiful. And by the way, you have a good sleep. A good sleep. You're able to lay your head upon the pillow when you're transparent with God. When you lay it and confess it and hand it over to God and declare your ways. And notice how he says, and he heard me. Praise God. God hears you when you're transparent. God hears a humble heart that cries and confesses. He hears you. Oh, God always resists who? The proud. But he gives grace to the humble, the one that is willing to admit his faults to God. And thank God that he hears our cry, our confession, and our complaint. When we cry out to the Lord by faith, our plea does not fall on deaf ears. We can go to people, we can complain, and we can murmur. Sometimes our complaints turns into murmuring. And we can go to, people, and we can talk about things. But then we might end up finding some friends like Job. Amen? Lousy comforters. By the way, thank God for good comforters. Thank God for good friends. Thank God for good brethren. Thank God for brethren that are open with you. Thank God for brethren that aren't seven abominations in their heart when they're talking to you. I love those kind of brethren. Thank God for brethren that care for your soul. But God cares more. God cares more. God loves you more. And God is consistent. And God is faithful. And God is honest. When we cry out to the Lord by faith, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. And this proves, listen, God cares. God cares. You know, God cares for every single one of you. But the question is, do you care? Do you care about the ways of God? Do you care about the will of God? Peter says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He says, I have declared my ways in verse 26, and thou heardest me. And look at this now. He says, teach me thy statutes. The psalmist could be saying, Lord, I've told you everything. Now tell me something. Amen. So, Lord, I've declared to you. Now declare to me. As the psalmist is bent low, gravitated to the dust of the ground, yet at the same time, in his heart, he's seated upright, ready to take notes. Teach me. I'm teachable. Brethren, when you hit rock bottom, be teachable. Be teachable. Don't open your ears to gossip. Open your ears to God and his word and be teachable. And say, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me from your word the truth about my condition. I don't want to deceive myself. It's the worst thing that could ever happen. Teach me, Lord. Maintain a teachable spirit in troublous times. It's tempting. It's tempting to say, Lord, teach him. Isn't it? Teach him. And thank God for those prayers at times we pray for one another that will be restored. God, show them, teach them, enlighten them. Allow. But listen, brethren, while we pray for others, we pray for ourselves and teach me. Show me my heart. In trying times, we must gravitate not only to the dust and be humble, but to the Word of God. Say, teach me. We must not run from the Word, but we must run to the Word. Number three, the Word of God makes us wise. Have a look at verse 27. He says, make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. The psalmist not only desires to have knowledge, but listen, he desires to have the wisdom of God. He desires not only to know, but to understand what to do. He wants to know to do. He wants truth to be lived out. Lord, I want to know to do. He desperately desired to understand how to apply the precepts or the principle of God's word in his life. I don't just want to know, Lord, your word. I want to know how to live out and apply your word to my circumstance. You know, knowing is not enough, brethren. It's not enough to know the stories of the Bible. We must understand what lessons we are to learn from the stories. It's not enough that we know the promises of God, but we must claim them by faith. We must learn how to apply Bible truths. We must call for God's wisdom to learn how to apply Scripture in every circumstances of life in their proper context. You know, there are a lot of things in the Bible that are not for you, Christian. Did you know that? There are a lot of things that are promised to someone else and not you. There are a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament for our learning and not our living. We learn to live by faith so we can learn how to live by faith in our dispensation, in our local church. Did you know that? Our dispensation, there's a lot of people that want to live in the Old Testament. No, we learn from the Old Testament. The Bible says it's for our learning. We learn like we are now. The principles.